Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, if you've been following some of the events that have been taking place the last couple of days, especially with President Obama attending a climate summit, or I think it's actually called COP 21, I think is what we talked about it being yesterday. And I think that comes out of the idea of Copenhagen, maybe with the open part of that COP part of it. But anyways, President Obama seems to be on this climate crusade. He seems to be trying to convince the American people, as well as others, that everybody else needs to be on board this crusade as well. However, the American people are not buying this. There's actually three reasons that I want to talk about today that Americans won't back Obama's climate accord. And that title right there, three reasons Americans won't back Obama's climate accord, is the title of a brand new article that was just written by Liz Peek in the Fiscal Times. And Liz joins us now. She is a columnist for FoxNews.com and also for the Fiscal Times as well. Liz, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Liz, I want to get to this this story here about climate. This is so important, and what the president is doing, I think, is so wrong for a number of reasons. But as you know, obviously, we had now what appears to be a terrorist attack on American soil here just yesterday in California. And I just thought having a Fox News columnist on, I would just ask you if you wanted to comment at all about what has taken place.
Well, we don't know all the details and facts about this horrifying incident, but we know enough to conclude, I think, that it was, in fact, another example of radical Islam on the loose, attacking innocent people and murdering a bunch. And in fact, I went on my Facebook page this morning and kind of exploded because, and I'm a pretty moderate, reasonable person, but the media's effort to sidestep what obviously happened here is just extraordinary to me. We've had people talking about, obviously, gun control. That's always the first thing that comes out. Well,
sure.
California happens to have, as you well know, the toughest gun control laws in the country. And the people who planned these attacks, and it appears that they were planned, had access, apparently, to so-called long guns. We don't know exactly what kind or whatever. Clearly, that was illegal. So tell me what part of increased gun control would have prevented this. It's doubtful that any would have, because these people were not, apparently, on any sort of watch list. They had not triggered any undue attention of any sort. So the answer is this is a yet another. I mean, there have been plenty of other examples where the kinds of increased background checks and gun control measures that have been proposed by President Obama and others on the left literally would have had no impact whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
What made me so irate today is that here's what we do know, and this didn't appear in any of the U.S. papers. It appeared in The Guardian, which seems to be the only paper that is a U.K. paper that actually is willing to report on unpleasant topics. But we know that these people, three of them, planned some sort of attack in that they had serious armaments. They had body armor. Apparently, there were IEDs, bombs of some sort, in their home. Are these normal people? No, they're clearly not. Do you have body armor stashed in your home? I doubt it very much.
Right.
So the notion that we've heard talk about mental illness, all three people had a outbreak of schizophrenia simultaneously, I think it's highly unlikely. What we know is that the man, the husband who was killed, had on his dating page that he was a devout Muslim, enjoyed reading religious materials, and obviously that is nothing to be alarmed about. But when in connection with having been killed in the course of pursuing a murderous rampage, with heavy armaments, you kind of have to begin to connect the dots. And the dots also take you to the fact that he went to Saudi Arabia to meet his wife. And, you know, you kind of put it all together. And, you know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, probably it is a duck. And I think what we have here is a terrorist attack. And, again, I understand that law enforcement has to be extremely careful not to jump to any untoward conclusions. But to sort of obfuscate the reality is just sort of maddening, because it's like the administration treats us like children and constantly exhortates the American people for anti-Muslim sentiment. The quickest way to deliver anti-Muslim sentiment is to be dishonest about what's going on. Mm. And that's why people are beginning to get their backs up on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so there you are. That's my rant.
Oh, that was excellent. And I wholeheartedly agree. I had some similar thoughts last night. The president jumped the gun, and pun intended, but he jumped the gun. He blamed the lack of gun control for the incident, even though this was as facts were just beginning to come forward. He didn't waste any time at all. Said, you know, we don't know what's actually happening, but let me just say, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, this is ridiculous. We got to do something about gun control, only to find out afterwards now that it didn't have anything to do with gun control. It had to do with a terrorist attack. So that was one thing. So I wholeheartedly agree with what you just said. Two, I think that I read another statement where CARE, the Council on Islam, I can't remember the exact acronym, but the Muslims, you know, that are...
Council Against Islamic Radicalism, I think. Or
something, yeah,
like
something
that.
Along that line. But they came out and they did a press conference, and they said, you know, we have no idea why these people did this. And I'm thinking, no idea.
I think that's kind of true. They don't know what exactly it was that triggered this, but let's face it. In other words, we've had incidents in this country where a disgruntled employee comes back and shoots somebody. Okay,
right.
Those people, generally speaking, once again, don't operate in groups,
mm-hmm.
and secondly, they don't have all this kind of low-level armaments at their at their right hand,
mm-hmm.
to carry out such an attack.
Right.
Everyone has at least acknowledged that these were planned. So, yes, I mean, I understand that the fellow has not posted a Facebook page saying, I hate all Christians or anything of that sort, but it does not seem reasonable to me to dismiss out of hand the fact that religion played a part of this, or
sure.
that basically jihad played a part of it.
Exactly. One of the articles is saying that a suspicious neighbor saw things taking place but was concerned about being labeled as a racist for
exactly.
saying anything. So she was basically, because of the political correctness surrounding these issues, you know, afraid to just raise some questions about what she saw taking place. So a lot of issues there, of course, surrounding that issue. But, you know, you talked about just the President Obama's response to this. Well, the other issue is this outrageous response that we've seen from him about global warming and about trying to pull this whole thing together. And you write about this in the article. Give us a little summation of what you write there about the president in this this latest global warming summit that he attended.
Sure. Well, look, there's no secret about the fact that President Obama has circled climate change as an issue that he wants to take leadership for. And one of the very easy reasons why he has done that is because he isn't leading any place else. So if you were President Obama, what's easier, taking on Syria and ISIS, or is it taking on climate change, where no one's going to basically fight back?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty cynical view. But I think there are a lot of things that have made this very important to him. One is that his other legacy achievements, Obamacare and the nuclear deal with Iran, have basically failed to win any sort of popular mandate amongst Americans. Both poll underwater still. Imagine this. 7 years in, Obamacare is still an unpopular piece of legislation. Why? Because it doesn't work. And everyone knows it is, in effect, a huge wealth transfer. And the people who are shouldering the burden for providing free health care to millions of people, guess what? They're not particularly happy about that.
Mm.
So those things aren't working. He needs a win so that when he goes out of the White House, he has something that he feels like he really accomplished and his biographers will laud and applaud. And so climate change is it. And I think even the New York Times has sort of noted that he has sort of gingerly approached this topic. He certainly didn't go all in his first term when they had a Democrat majority in the Congress. He did not put out, he did not endorse cap and trade with any enthusiasm. Instead, he really went all in on Obamacare. So this has not been the highest priority for the president, but now suddenly it is, again, because I think he wants to reestablish himself as someone of importance on the world stage. You would think the American president is always someone of importance on the world stage, but not when all of his diplomatic efforts have, you know, turned out to be sort of not particularly helpful to his own country, and not when he is being constantly checked by Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping of China. So this is it for the president. And the amazing thing to me, the wonderful thing in a sense, is that Americans really are resisting it. Yes, when asked if they want a global climate agreement, 66% say they would. But when it comes down to would you raise taxes on gasoline, they say no. Would you prefer to raise electricity taxes? No. Why? Because they're not really convinced that this is the urgent problem that the president has told them it is. So, in fact, the most amazing thing out of recent polling is that a majority of the country doesn't think the science is settled here.
Mm.
And when you do any research on the scientific community and how they are behaving on this topic, you'll find that they are literally shunning and punishing people who dare to suggest that the climate is not changing necessarily because of man-made emissions. That's
mm-hmm.
the big controversy. It is not settled. But if you dare to voice another opinion, you literally are excluded from meetings, left out of groups. You're not peer-reviewed because people don't want to attach their name to yours. It's really pretty remarkable. And the media, of course, has played a role as well by refusing to even publish dissenting voices. Popular Science, for heaven's sakes, won't publish dissent. The LA Times, BBC, other organs are refusing to even run op-eds that don't agree with what they consider to be the consensus on global warming. So it's pretty shocking to me that Americans have resisted this, but they have. They are not on board with Obama's quest, partly because of that, because they are still not certain that it's worth throwing our enormously productive energy industry under the bus, which is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they look overseas and they see that Europe, one of the few but really important reasons that Europe isn't growing is because they have ladled on so many renewable mandates and other requirements aimed at reducing emissions that their cost of electricity, their cost of power is about twice what ours are. In Germany, it's four times as much. So that's why German manufacturers have been investing in new facilities in the U.S. They get it that power is one of the most important factors of manufacturing, factors of production. The U.S. has a huge benefit and advantage here. But the president is doing everything he can by reducing the coal we burn and by ladling taxes on natural gas and so forth, and financing enormous investments in high-cost renewables to undermine our advantage. So that, we don't need a laboratory to figure this out. It's happening in Europe. And after the financial crisis, a lot of countries began to reassess what they're doing, and particularly in light of the fact that emissions, with all of that that they've done, emissions are rising in Europe because they've done it so badly. The government is picking winners and losers, and guess what? The EU has been the loser. So the other thing I would say is We have our president and John Kerry once again traipsing around the globe negotiating on our behalf. And having watched what they did in Iran and having watched what they've done pretty consistently facing up to Vladimir Putin and what they did in Cuba, Americans know that this is not a team that's going to fight for our interests. Today, you may have seen that more information came out about Iran. Basically, now it is acknowledged that they worked on nuclear weapons through 2009. That information should have been made public a year ago. The government, John Kerry, and the president basically allowed it to be suppressed until now so that they could sign this nuclear deal. Iran, remember, has always said that they had no interest in a nuclear weapon. All of their research and energies were focused on nuclear energy for power reasons and also for medical research. Now we know, and we knew before, but now it has been acknowledged that that was a lie. And even as recently as 2009, they were conducting tests to basically take their nuclear power infrastructure and make a nuclear weapon. So that's how great our negotiators are. That's how they stand up for the U.S. interests. Where are the hostages being held in Iran? Oh, they're still in Iran, and they're still also in Cuba because our government didn't go to war for them. So I think Americans are reasonably extremely skeptical that this White House is going to negotiate on our behalf. We know that Obama is willing to negotiate on his behalf. A legacy deal, even if it's a bad deal for America, is better than no deal at all.
And that addresses somewhat your first point in the article. You give these three reasons why the American people are not jumping on board this climate crusade that the president is on. And the first reason was that the people don't really believe him anymore. His credibility is really at a low point with the American people because he said things like, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. That was a lie.
Right.
And, you know, all of these things that he has said, everybody was like, well, the way he's saying this, there's a way that he's going to try to wiggle out of it. They just don't believe him anymore.
That's exactly right. And why would we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you say, there have been so many really serious deceptions, probably that one about health care, because they knew full well it wasn't going to turn out that way.
Mm.
I think he said that 27 times.
Yes.
I think he said 18 times that he wasn't allowed to change our immigration practices unilaterally. Well, guess what? Then he went ahead and did it.
Mm.
I mean, this has not been an honest president. Maybe no president is 100% honest, but he has told some pretty substantial whoppers. So at this point in his presidency, it's pretty reasonable when he tells you that you know, climate change is the defining issue of our time. I think people just roll their eyes, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They made all these horrific prophecies about what was going to take place if we didn't do something about climate change already up until this point, and none of that has come true. In fact,
some
of the science is actually showing just the opposite is taking place from what they said. Your second point was that the American people aren't buying it because this new technology is expensive.
That's right.
We saw with Solaris and other companies that unless they're propped up by massive amounts of influx of subsidies, these things just are not viable on their own. And so the only way to make them viable was to make the current forms of electricity and so forth so expensive that it begins to make these new forms look appealing to us, right?
Yeah, they become competitive. That's exactly right. And listen, I mean, there are places, for example, if you go to Greece, you'll see that every Greek household just about has a solar panel on their roof.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the weather in Greece, that is sufficient. I think the payback is like 4 years there that people are able to heat their homes and so forth, you know, by using solar panels, and it's a tremendously economic approach. It is not here. It's not in most parts of the United States. And so, yes, we have enormous subsidies for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're not anti-solar. I'd like to have I'd like to use a little bit of solar at my house as well. The only thing is it's not cheaper. It is more expensive, and
That's right. It's
limited to the amount of sunlight that you can actually have. The third reason that you give in your article, you say that President Obama has a poor track record of negotiating on behalf of the United States. And we talked about this already, but they just don't feel that. I hate to be cynical about it, but they feel that he doesn't have our best interest always at heart.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think we saw that, again, in Cuba, in Iran, in all those negotiations, which have not gone as well for the country as they were expected to go. So who can blame anyone for being cynical about that?
Mm-hmm. You know, when we say that, what are we to think when we think that in all these different areas that we have the leader of the nation doesn't have the nation at the number one spot in his heart in these negotiations or these various plans? I mean, that I know we have gotten used to it now in this presidency, but that's quite a stunning statement, I think.
It How is, are we and you know, again, it's I don't think anyone, I don't want to go there in terms of really is he not trying. I think it's a combination of his unbelievable naivete. I think oftentimes the president expects, I mean, we've heard this from him, that he expects everyone to have the same values, the same ambitions, and so forth, and the same standards. Guess what? It's not true.
Mm.
So that's a serious problem, and it means that he's always dealing from a position of weakness, in effect. And then I think also he has been, I truly believe that since he took office, he has been consumed with looking at himself in the rearview mirror. What will history think of me? Remember that dinner he had in, I think, 2009, where he had 9 presidential historians come to dinner at the White House to talk about what kind of makes a great president. Who does that? Who writes 2 autobiographies by the time they're 50 years, 45 years old? I mean, it's extraordinary stuff. I think he's so... people use the word narcissistic. I think that's probably true. I think he is narcissistic. So does that mean he purposely throws the U.S. under the bus at every opportunity? No, but it means given, for example, on the Iran situation, a choice between concluding a deal that he thinks will make him an important historical figure and not doing it because and sort of not pursuing America's interest in doing it, I think that, unfortunately, he chooses his legacy.
Final few minutes of our discussion here. What should we do about this climate crusade, or do we have to do anything? Is it going to crumble on its own?
Oh, well, I think we have to elect a Republican next year. I think it is extremely, extremely important because people don't realize how insidious the attack on our energy industries is. For example, here's an amazing thing that the Wall Street Journal wrote an op-ed about, but I haven't heard it anywhere else mentioned. We have laws in this country governing investing of pension funds called ERISA laws. They have now, the Obama administration has now changed laws to make assessing a company's climate change exposure an important factor in determining on whether or not you invest in that company. And what that means is this. If you're running a pension fund and you invest in ExxonMobil, someone can sue you because they can claim that you did not take into account what climate change could mean for ExxonMobil 10 years down the road. This is a very frightening thing, and it is appalling to me. But there are other, as you may know, the Attorney General in New York City
yes.
is going on after ExxonMobil for not having warned investors enough. In other words, that they should have been more blatant over the last 30 years, telling people that climate change could impact their business. These are really frightening things because this country, again, I cannot emphasize enough, this president has basically all but sat on this information, but this country has undergone an energy revolution in the last 10 years. No one expected our discoveries of oil and gas to be as gigantic as they have been. We have huge troves of cheap energy in this country. It's probably the most important thing going forward giving the United States an advantage versus our competitors. This needs to be acknowledged and, by the way, profited from, not suppressed.
Yes, exactly. Wow, that's quite a dramatic change that's taking place. First, they called the Flat Earth Society, and anybody who denied, that the science was actually telling us what these on the climate crusade were telling us, were villainized, first of all. But now we've turned a corner here. Now we're seeing that they're being criminalized. And it's being tied to your financial existence there. This is getting very, very serious. Liz, thank you so much for writing this article. Thank you for the work that you do at Fox News and the Fiscal Times. We really appreciate you taking time out to talk with us today on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. That was Liz Peek, and Liz is the columnist for FoxNews.com and also for the Fiscal Times. The article that we were talking about today is her most recent article. You can read it for yourself out at TheFiscalTimes.com. The article title was Three Reasons Americans Won't Back Obama's Climate Accord. You know, he kind of lessened the impact of that because he knew the American people wouldn't go for it. It wouldn't pass through Congress and so forth. So he lessened the actual verbiage that was originally sought for there in the agreement. But he didn't lessen all the things that he was trying to go after, you know, the impact that it would have on the American people themselves. But you can read about that in the article and so forth. There's a lot of money to be made in this climate change arena. And that's where I think the real key is. People are going to profit tremendously from that, and that's why they won't let it go. So you can check out more about Liz, as I mentioned, out at FoxNews.com or also out there at the FiscalTimes.com as well. You can check out her article there. Remember this, and all the things that we talk about here on the broadcast, remember this, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.